This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Those comments I made were actually about Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. And so they're a few years old, and yet they still apply because as sports fans, we reserve the right to change our minds in a second. We don't even really need a whole lot of motivation or evidence. We can be illogical and irrational, and it's completely acceptable when you are arguing and ranting and raving about sports. But kind of interesting that those comments were about KD and Russ splitting
up. Don't try to split us up.
Splitting up in Oklahoma City when Kevin Durant went to Golden State. And now he's in Brooklyn with a new big three in Kyrie and James Harden. And their very first game together has produced some of the most loving, affectionate comments you could possibly imagine from KD.
It felt right. It felt perfect. It felt like we belong together. This journey together is going to be fun. You know, it was a tough first start, and especially it was an up and down game for us. But, you know, I like where we are.
It felt right. It felt perfect. It felt like we belong together. It felt like this journey is going to be fun.
It felt right. It felt perfect. It felt like we belong together.
I'm holding out for a man who talks about me the way KD is talking about Brooklyn's new big three, even in the wake of a loss together in double overtime against the Cavaliers.
Hashtag felt like we belong together.
Love at first sight. Even when it's rocky, it's still perfect. Yep, that's it. That's what I need. You know those memes where you'll... Adam Gase is a great example. When he was first introduced as the head coach of the New York Jets and his crazy eyes, the eyes of Adam Gase, we did an entire show on the scary eyes of Adam Gase boring a hole into your head. But there were all these memes where he was following a dancing taco or he was looking at pizza. And I remember lots of memes about how you need to find someone who loves you the way that Adam Gase loves these tacos, things like that. And so that's it. I've found the standard. I am holding out for a man who talks about me the way KD is talking about the new triumvirate in Brooklyn. It's settled. I will not take anything less. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
So forget the eyes of Adam Gase. I came up with the emojis of Adam Gase.
That was one of the funniest shows we have ever done. It was totally worth it to have Adam Gase as the coach of the New York Jets simply for that press conference and that show. Sorry, Jets fans. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. What does Adam Gase have to do with the Indianapolis Colts? Well, follow me here. Not even 6 degrees of separation. Gase says that his biggest failure in New York is his failure to develop Sam Darnold as a quarterback. Let's cut to the chase here. That's one of the reasons, if not the main reason, he took the job or got the job as the Jets head coach anyway. Sure, they wanted to win, but they felt like they would if Gase could develop Sam Darnold the way that he had worked with Peyton Manning and Jay Cutler.
I had no idea there were so many Adam Gase memes out there.
And so, thank you, Adam Gase. He admits he failed to develop Sam Darnold. And Darnold and the Jets offense were dead last this year in terms of points and offensive yards and efficiency. Just brutal. But because of that, they end up with the number two overall pick, which could be used to select a quarterback. We now know Justin Fields has officially declared for the NFL draft. Are you with me still here? Adam Gase, Sam Darnold, Jets, Colts. Darnold may be available on the trade market. Could he be the Colts' next quarterback? And he's only one of the options. So this is the second part of the question. Yes, I want to know how you define Hall of Famer, and does Phillip Rivers fit your qualifications? But it's not just about him walking away from football in Indianapolis. He only signed a one-year deal, but Frank Reich said immediately after their loss in Buffalo that they wanted Phillip Rivers to return as quarterback. Then we heard from the general manager who said the same thing. If Rivers wants to continue playing, we want him here as our QB. Okay. Well, that's not going to happen. Where should the Colts look for the next QB? Could it be a trade with the Jets for Sam Darnold? Darnold will become available if they draft a QB. And while the Jets are kind of keeping those cards close to the vest, I think partly because they've just brought in a new head coach, and maybe they should introduce their head coach and hear from him before they start deciding what they're going to do with the number two overall pick. But it is the same GM, right? This is Joe Douglas. They're not changing general managers. So with Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, has he picked his offensive coordinator? Oh, yes. Matt LaFleur's brother, right? Mike LaFleur. Let's hope that there's the same success there. Wowzers, that'd be fun. So if you keep Sam Darnold, he's got, what is it, his third head coach now? Third head coach, multiple offensive coordinators and systems. That's a lot to ask of a young quarterback who's barely 23 years old. But that's how the NFL goes. Are they going to try their hand with Darnold? He's got raw tools. He's got raw potential. He's already a few years into the league. Or do they believe he's damaged goods and they want to start fresh with someone like Justin Fields or any number of the quarterbacks in the first round that are likely available? This is considered a deep quarterback draft. If the Colts don't go the draft, which is probably unlikely, well, it's not impossible. There are a lot of quarterbacks out there starting in the league right now who are not first rounders or who are not high draft picks. So if the Colts don't go draft, could it be Sam Darnold? Could it be Carson Wentz? There's a tie there with Frank Reich. Why are you chuckling in there, Producer Dave? So Producer Dave is behind the double pane glass, and I can't really see. We've got a lot of lights on in both of our rooms, and so the reflections are kind of wonky, but I did see him chuckle when I mentioned Carson Wentz.
I don't know. Just the idea of someone trading for him at this point makes me laugh. I don't know.
Even Frank Reich, who helped develop him as an MVP,
which
would have been an MVP a few years ago.
I understand. It's more about the team making a team making a decision to trade for him at this point. It's such a reclamation project. I mean, is with depending
more,
on how much
more
money,
than Darnold.
Well, that. He's still young. You're not 100% sure what Sam Darnold is. I'm not just saying that because he's the quarterback of the team that I root for. I think that you can still, with some continuity, you can still develop Sam Darnold at such a young age to potentially be a quarterback for the next decade or so in the NFL. I think Carson Wentz kind of is what he is at this point.
Yeah, he had one really bad season. I disagree with that. I think that you could look at the best of the best seasons that he's had, and that was second year where he was likely to be the MVP had he not gotten hurt. And that was early December when he got hurt and Nick Foles took over, and we know the rest of the story. He's had one terrible year, and he was great with Frank Reich. So I don't know. I'm not willing to give up on him yet. But there are two options, Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz. We don't know if either of their teams will actually be holding them out as trade bait. We don't know if Deshaun Watson will be available, but I can imagine there'd be any number of teams, half the league,
who might not have the assets. That's the only problem, is how many teams out there have the assets to be able to woo the Texans enough that they would make that trade. Heavens, Cal McNair, it's easier to patch things up with Deshaun Watson than to find another freaking quarterback. But I thought it was interesting. I mean, Richard Sherman likes to stir up trouble, let's be honest. Richard Sherman thinks that the players have more power than they actually do, and he's constantly stumping for the players to have more control. Because why? Because he hates how the NFL is structured. He believes that owners and the league have far too much power. And if there is a voice out there that represents the opposition, that's Richard Sherman. And so he was a guest on the Collinsworth podcast talking about Deshaun Watson and his options.
If I was Deshaun, I'd get out there as quickly as possible. I'd head to New York from first thing smoking.
The Jets?
The Jets.
How beautiful would that be?
It would be the most beautiful. Decent offensive line. They'd have to find threats. They'd have to find some offensive weapons. But I think there would be a lot more people excited to be there. You know, I think the free agency market this year is going to be oversaturated because of the salary cap. But that's what I would do. I would be out of there on the first thing smoking. I wouldn't give him, like they're saying, he's not answering any texts or any calls. I wouldn't either. You know, he's done everything. Like, he's taken a beating for you guys and played efficiently. Like, not taking a beating and played bad and blamed it on a bad season. He went 4-12 and then threw the ball like 70%, I believe. Like, he didn't, his level of play didn't drop with the team. Like, he didn't let the bad season say, hey, I'm going to be bad too. I'm going to be all pro level, and I'm just going to have to do everything I can to help my team win, and we're not winning.
I agree with 90% of what Richard Sherman said. Certainly, if he would end up in New York, that would be a destination for free agents, because Deshaun Watson is a guy that other players want to line up with. No, no doubt about that. Here's my question, and it really is rhetorical. I don't think we have an answer to it. Deshaun Watson has a no trade clause. If you're Deshaun and there are multiple options, is the Jets an option that you put near the top of your list? He definitely likes Robert Saleh. He wanted the Texans to interview Saleh. But what if the Texans come in and hire Eric Bieniemy and he gets an offensive coordinator as his new head coach, and then there's an attention paid to the offense? There's also a general manager who he's not thrilled with. But if you think Nick Caserio is going to be pushed around, I think you got another thing coming. That's not happening. Consider where Caserio came from. Now, let's hope his ego isn't one like O'Brien's, where it forces him or causes him to make all these dumb decisions because he thinks he's so brilliant. But I don't think that Caserio is going to allow a player to tell him how to run the team. That's just my opinion, considering where he came from. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, Deshaun Watson might be available. I still say it would be the dumbest thing the Texans have ever done, and it would literally define their franchise. You thought the DeAndre Hopkins trade was bad. This would define their franchise, and not in a good way. So I say, for Cal McNair, it's far easier to apologize and to work things out with Deshaun Watson than to start finding a new quarterback. That's just my opinion. So Deshaun, Darnold, Wentz, they could go draft. What else? Where else would you find a quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts? I can imagine this is something they've thought about and potentially planned for, but it's not an easy fix. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you missed my conversation with Sal Capaccio in Buffalo, good stuff to get you ready for the AFC Championship. And if you wanted, you could go back right now. Don't do this, because we're doing a show. But the NFL Network is currently airing the Chiefs-Bills from week number 6. Do you know it's a doubleheader on NFL Network? Because a few hours ago, they were airing the game between the Packers and the Buccaneers, also from week number 6. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, here's a thought, and I'm not telling you it's going to happen. I do honestly believe that the Baltimore Ravens, the team dispatched by the Buffalo Bills, I do believe that they believe Lamar Jackson is the quarterback of the present and the future. However, you never know. Maybe they think about going a different direction with the way that their playoffs ended and with the way that their offense has gone. It's become so run heavy. Can Lamar throw the ball? Yeah, but there are times when Lamar cannot throw the ball. John Harbaugh on Wednesday talking about his quarterback and the long-term option.
I'm very confident that that Eric and those guys will do a great job of looking at that. Of course, absolutely, we want, you know, Lamar to sign a long-term deal and be with us, and that's I'm totally certain that that's going to happen.
All right, so he has no thoughts that Lamar Jackson is going to leave after these next 2 years on his deal. Certainly in a window where a lot of quarterbacks in their rookie deals end up getting contract extensions. It just happened with Deshaun Watson at the beginning of last year. But you never know. There could be a surprise quarterback option out there that no one's thought of. I thought this was a funny tweet a few minutes ago. Matt Ryan, take him. Atlanta don't need him anymore. Or make a run for Dak Prescott. Could Dak Prescott be available? Matt Ryan's not available. His contract alone makes him as close to untradeable as possible. But I still say that Matt Ryan's not the issue in Atlanta. And if you're an incoming head coach like Arthur Smith is, and while he's being carefully cryptic about the roster, you don't need to be changing your quarterback right now. You've got far bigger issues in Atlanta. And I don't think that there are many teams out there that could absorb that contract or that could take on that salary cap, at least right now. But is it possible that Dak Prescott is available? Lots of Cowboys fans wonder, and certainly everything is in question considering not just their season, but Dak's injury from week 5. He's said to be on course and doing well in his rehab and his recovery, but he does not have a long-term deal with the Cowboys. Could the Cowboys franchise him for a second year? Yes, but do you know what that very often does? What that does is alienate the player and make it less likely that he's going to sign a long-term deal. And so there are some interesting names out there. I suspect that you'll have other guys, backup quarterbacks who are changing teams, maybe an Andy Dalton, though Cowboys may want to keep him around for their insurance. It's just, if you're Dalton, you recognize your window is probably closing to be a starter, so wouldn't you want to pursue a starting job? No idea what's happening with Alex Smith. He's still thinking about his options as well. But certainly Taylor Heinicke has earned a tryout. What about Mitch Trubisky? Anybody? Could you imagine Frank Reich and Mitch Trubisky? That's not happening. That's a match made in hell. Jameis Winston, anyone? Or will he be the starting quarterback in New Orleans moving forward? And what does that mean about Taysom Hill? These are all really fascinating questions. I'm just asking you, where are the Colts going to find their next QB? Where do they look next? We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. With every score change during Super Bowl 55, someone wins $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Coming up, a pair of future Hall of Famers, not Phillip Rivers. We haven't heard from him yet. He just made the announcement through social media and through San Diego newspaper. We'll, I'm sure, at some point get his final emotional press conference. But how about Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers getting set to do battle with their respective teams in the NFC Championship? A little bit of their thought processes as we head towards Sunday's clash. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I had no idea there were so many Adam Gase memes out.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
So much
much attention on Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers as they will do battle with their respective teams. It's not a one-on-one matchup here. We're not talking about a little bit of basketball on the street, the playground, little one-on-one. I think I'd take Aaron Rodgers in that matchup, but it's Rodgers and the Packers against Brady and the Buccaneers, and really interesting that it's in the NFC Championship, right? Fifth one of these conference championships for Aaron Rodgers, the 14th overall for Tom Brady, and the two of them, they have decidedly different approaches to their Zoom press conferences, but I like it. We get much more of a reflective Aaron Rodgers these days because he's learned to love himself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Who should the Colts tap to replace outgoing, retiring Phillip Rivers? So whether it's Twitter or Facebook, we'll get back to your calls here, 855-212-4227. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady both speaking on Wednesday, and Brady is in the center of this surge by the Buccaneers. Not only have they started to play their best football of the year, they're much more of a rhythm and a groove, but they're not intimidated by the road. They have won seven consecutive games away from Tampa.
I think playing on the road's just, it's about good football, execution, communication, all the fundamentals, the blocking, tackling, throwing, all those things. So it's a great environment. I mean, this is one of the coolest stadiums in the league to play in. You know, I know they're excited. We'll be excited. It'll be make for a great football game.
Lambeau Field, roughly 9,000 fans on hand. What did Aaron Rodgers tell us last week? It sounded like 50,000. So here he is on the cusp of another Super Bowl. Hasn't played in one in 10 years. There have been some disappointments, to be sure. And he's toward the end of his career. Does he feel any extra pressure considering the other quarterback across the field who's playing in 14 of these things?
Obviously, I put pressure on myself to perform every single week. And then I think there's a lot to be said for being able to harness that pressure and the fear of failure and focus it to, real positive. And that's something you learn over the years. But I don't feel any extra pressure going in this week.
It's been 10 years since Aaron Rodgers and the Packers won their Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy, of course, as the head coach. And Rodgers, no doubt, has reflected some on the end of his career, probably no more than Tom Brady has, and yet Brady's going to play until he sucks, he says. Brady and the rest of the Buccaneers got this very plain message from one Bruce Arians on Wednesday. Don't be looking past this game to a potential Super Bowl in your own stadium, because if you look past this game, well, then you're going to get your bleeps beat. Brady obviously has been in this situation a bazillion times and can communicate that, the circumstances, to his new locker room.
I think everyone understands the significance of these, you know, for it's very difficult to get to this point to be, 4 of 32. So I think we're all, excited for it, but certainly understand we have a lot of prep to go, and we're going to take every minute up to kickoff to get ready to go.
One of the things I love about older athletes is they have a great perspective. They don't take these opportunities for granted. As many as Brady has played in, and it's a lot, and as many rings as he has, and it's a lot, he never does take them for granted because he knows how hard it is to get to this point, to be one of four still standing. And Aaron Rodgers has that same type of an attitude.
I do feel really thankful to be back here. Thankful for the chance to be playing. There were so many unknowns when we started the season, just the Zoom offseason. We're going to get to this point. Now we're here and we have fans. So it's pretty exciting to be here.
Now we're here and we have fans. Yeah, it's been really cool to hear the athletes talk about how emotional they were when they first heard the fans. So Rodgers saying last week as he came out of the tunnel at Lambeau and was overwhelmed by how loud the fans were and how much he missed them. And you don't realize, because you're focused, you're locked in, head down, you don't realize how much you miss them. Of course, you know that it's different without them and it feels empty, but man, when they're back, ooh, I love it too. That authentic crowd noise, it really lifts me up as I watch some of these games over the course of the last few weeks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. These aren't the top two seeds left in the NFC, but the Packers and the Buccaneers playing their best football of the season, and they are the best teams still standing in the conference.
I know the kind of team they're they are and what they're capable of. They've got a great offense, one of the best in the league, really talented defense, really well coached. So it's how it should be, you know. The two best teams in the conference should be getting together and seeing how it all goes down. And I'm excited for it.
1 versus 5 in the NFC, 1 and 2 in the AFC. And I'm still investigating here, wondering if these byes are going to hand this overwhelming advantage to Chiefs and Packers. So we'll see. We could very well have a Kansas City-Green Bay Super Bowl, in which the only two teams that had byes are the two teams that advance. But Bruce Arians, Tom Brady, the veterans in that Buccaneers locker room, they certainly understand how to prepare and how to push through whatever mental and physical fatigue there is. As for Rodgers, I have no idea who asked him the question about whether or not he believes this is his last chance to make a Super Bowl. Oy, what? I mean, is it easier when you don't have to stare the reporter in the face and say that? You could do it over electronic Zoom. But somebody brought it up. This could be your last chance, Aaron.
I'm always just trying to stay present, especially this year, as much as anything, and just enjoy the moments. And I hope there's more opportunities, but I don't know. I mean, I really don't. And that's stuff that's out of my control. I mean, my future is a beautiful mystery, I think. The present is such a gift to just be able to stay in the moment and to have gratitude for being in a situation again and being with the guys and having fans at our stadium and maybe snow on an NFC championship game.
Yes.
I'm going to enjoy these moments for sure and just not worry about what happens down the line.
It is a kinder, gentler Aaron Rodgers. I'm telling you, goes back to the offseason where he said he was happier, where he said he had learned to love himself, which is good. We all need to love ourselves. We all need to not be so hard on ourselves. I think in a lot of cases, I am far harder on myself than anyone else could be. And that's a tough standard to live up to. And so I'm glad that he loves himself more and that he's happier than he's ever been. I'm not laughing at that or begrudging him that. It's just so funny that this tough quarterback is talking the way that he is over the last 6 months. Remember when he told us he had to learn to love himself and he was in a really good spot and he felt like that was so critical? At 37 years old, is this his midlife crisis? Well, if it is, I think a lot of men are envious because he doesn't need the bright, shiny red sports car. He's got his 5th NFC championship game, but he's trying to stay present. Enjoy the moments. My future is a beautiful mystery.
My future is a beautiful mystery.
The present is such a gift. I'm sorry. It's just so... It's so different than the Aaron Rodgers you see on the field when he's flashing the championship belt and he's playing up for the camera and he's pumping his fist. And he doesn't trash talk a ton, but he'll yap a little bit. He is extremely arrogant.
The present is such a gift.
Don't let that fool you. Aaron Rodgers is as arrogant as Kobe Bryant. Don't you remember his appearance on the Pat McAfee show earlier this season? I mean, I've heard this so many times because it plays over and over on Westwood One and on Sirius XM, where he said to Pat McAfee that it's funny how a down year for me is a career year for most other quarterbacks. That is Aaron Rodgers when he's completely comfortable. Oh, yeah. He is arrogant as they come. And I don't begrudge him that. That's one of the reasons why he is a future Hall of Famer, a Super Bowl winning quarterback. It's one of the reasons why his team drafting a young QB as his potential replacement has spurred him on to one of the greatest seasons he's ever had and one of the greatest seasons in Green Bay history. It's that kind of arrogance that makes him the best. But this whole line of rhetoric about how my future is a beautiful mystery and the present is such a gift. I mean, it's just so opposite of what you get from
him. My future is a beautiful mystery.
I have to stay in the moment and to have gratitude for being in this situation again. He sounds like my yoga instructor. And then she goes out and she turns into the Black Mamba or the Dark Sith Lord and about breaks me every week. It's the two sides of Aaron Rodgers.
All right, who should replace Philip Rivers in Indianapolis? Some interesting tweets. A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 855-212-4227. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Bob Uecker.
The present is such a gift.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I'm always just trying to stay present, especially this year, as much as anything, and just enjoy the moments. I hope there's more opportunities, but I don't know. I mean, I really don't. And that's stuff that's out of my control. I mean, my future is a beautiful mystery, I think. The present is such a gift to just be able to stay in the moment and to have gratitude for being in that situation again. And being with the guys and having fans at our stadium and maybe snow on an NFC Championship game. I mean, I'm going to enjoy these moments for sure and just not worry about what happens down the line.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
So much quarterback talk on the brain. Aaron Rodgers. He's learning to love himself, which is good. And honestly, that has helped his football on the field as well. It's just funny to hear these two sides of him, right? He's a stone cold killer out there on the field, and he loves to cut your heart out. And yet you get him in this reflective moment, and it's all about appreciating these opportunities. And it's all about the future being a big mystery, a beautiful mystery, but the present is a gift. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Here's a tweet from Larry, a diehard Colts fan. I would love the Colts to pursue Matt Stafford. We're ready to win now. Matt has always been a top 10 QB the last decade on a bad team. Plus, the Lions need to start thinking rebuild, especially when they hire a new GM and coach. They've actually done that. Brad Holmes is their new general manager. Dan Campbell gets the 6-year deal as head coach, though he's never been a coordinator. Man alive, we got a lot of guys who are jumping without really spending a whole lot of time in the league. It's the hot trend among coaching candidates. I do feel badly for guys like Eric Bieniemy and Brian Daboll, who are probably hurt by the fact that they're still coaching, which should be a positive, not a negative. So who should replace Philip Rivers? And what do you think about Rivers as a Hall of Famer? Edward says just because he played a long time and has stats does not make him a Hall of Famer. Well, what does? Tell me. Because I don't think it's fair that we judge quarterbacks by rings and trophies when we don't judge any other Hall of Famers that way. Joe Thomas is one of the greatest offensive linemen ever to play the game. Certainly in this current era and most recent eras of the NFL, he didn't ever line up in a postseason game. 10,000 something, something, something consecutive snaps. Is Megatron a Hall of Famer when the Lions stunk while he was there? Now, he did play in a playoff game, maybe two. I'd have to go back and check his particular line. But why is it that only quarterbacks are judged by whether or not they played in Super Bowls and whether or not they won rings? Why is a defensive lineman not judged that way? Come on now. That is a double standard, and I don't like it. Just like I don't like the stat of quarterback wins, because you can't win all by yourself as a QB. 855-212-4227. Dan is listening in Michigan. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Morning, Amy. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Philip Rivers is a definite Hall of Famer, but if Breeze retires, he won't be a first ballot. Breeze is definitely a first ballot, but you're not going to put two quarterbacks in when there's so many other great players there. Breeze, first ballot. Rivers, only a first ballot if Breeze does not retire. And your thing about Megatron, he's definitely not a Hall of Famer. Definitely not. There
are a lot of people who would disagree with you. Now, I don't happen to have a vote, but we just spoke to Dan Miller on last night's show, and he said Megatron is. I've seen others who would put Megatron in. So I'm not telling you he's going to make it in. I don't know if that's the case, only that we've got other candidates, strong candidates for the Hall of Fame, even in this current class, that never participated in a Super Bowl or won a playoff game, and yet they very well could end up in the Hall. So why do we hold quarterbacks to that standard?
Well, I'm just going to say Megatron was a great player, but a first ballot Hall of Famer, no.
Well, I don't know what first ballot has to do with it. I mean, he could end up in the Hall of Fame as a second or third ballot guy, but I would be stunned if he doesn't end up in the Hall.
It, like I just said, with Rivers and Breeze, if Breeze retires, he's first ballot. Rivers will be a second ballot then.
Okay.
Same with Megatron. He will not be a first ballot because there's too many other great players that have better stats than him that have retired.
Okay. But do you hold the playoff thing against him?
Probably not. I hold that against the Lions.
Okay. But I'm saying in general, for a Hall of Famer, do you hold it against him if they don't have playoff wins?
Not really, but I'm going to say he had too many drops. He was too injury prone. I mean, there was just too many things with Megatron where he's a Hall of Famer, but he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. I see too many other players out there, linebackers, linemen. There's a whole bunch of them I would put before Megatron.
Okay, I gotcha. I mean, that's not really the debate. The debate is about whether or not ring should be a qualification for getting into the Hall of Fame. All right, I appreciate the call, Dan. Thanks so much. In Michigan, I just looked up Megatron's playoff stats. 2 postseason games. In his first playoff game, his playoff debut when he was 26, going back now a decade, a dozen catches, 211 yards, and a couple of scores. He was not the reason why the Lions did not win that game. Obviously, Matt Stafford wasn't either. 2014 was his next playoff game. He had 5 catches for 85 yards and no touchdowns. And that was the only other time he appeared in the postseason. So never had a postseason win, though he did at least get to the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, there's so many athletes that are in the Hall of Fame, we're just talking football here, but across the board, really, that don't have championships. So why is that a standard that we hold quarterbacks to? To me, it's unfair. I say it's more, the rings are great. And if you perform extremely well on your way to a championship, yeah. But Phillip Rivers is part of maybe the greatest quarterback era football has ever seen. And he's held his own. Top 5 among peers who will all end up in the Hall of Fame. So Phillip Rivers played with Brady and Breeze and Manning and Favre and Rodgers and Roethlisberger and the other Manning and Matt Ryan. These are all guys who are either in the Hall of Fame or going to end up in the Hall of Fame. Is he going to be the only one? Heck no. Because he didn't have a ring? Heck no. Dan Marino didn't have a ring. I mean, I think the rings part is nice. Matt Ryan may not have a ring. We'll see where he ends up. Right now, he's top 10 when it comes to touchdown passes. Phillip Rivers, by the time he will be eligible for the Hall, probably isn't still in the top 5 when it comes to TDs because Rodgers and Roethlisberger, depending on how long Ben plays, will eclipse him. But when you put his numbers in context with the greatest era of quarterbacks ever, I don't know how you can leave him out. Well, most of these guys, if not all of them, are going to end up as Hall of Famers. 855-212-4227. Hank is listening in Washington, D.C. What do you think?
Hi, thanks a lot for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on this one. I think a Hall of Fame is sort of an individual, well, not sort of, it is an individual accomplishment. And I think the sort of championship thing that people tend to point out is just a convenient way to tear certain athletes down. But, you know, like, we don't celebrate teams for how many Pro Bowlers they throw out generally. It's an individual accomplishment, and the team accomplishment is winning a championship. So that's like, it's a team sport. It's not completely within his control. I guess coming up big in big games is something you add additional points for, but, like, Warren Moon comes to mind for me. I don't have his stats, like, off the top of my head, but I mean,
would you like me to would you like me to tell you what they are?
I would love to hear them.
Okay. So Warren Moon right now stands 14th all-time in touchdown passes at 291. And then if you look at his passing numbers, he is, let's see, obviously different era of quarterbacks. Where is he? Warren Moon, 12th all-time, just shy of 50,000 yards. So he's in the top 15 in both those categories.
Right. Okay, and I think he had I'm sure he had a shorter career in the NFL as well, but also a Hall of Famer. I mean, you know, despite the fact he didn't have a championship, Jim Kelly didn't have a championship.
Right.
And so it's just, I hate it when people tear athletes down for that. That was the, you know, to pivot a little bit, Alex Ovechkin was getting torn down forever because he wasn't a champion at the time. And it's just, it's lazy. Like, look at the stats, look at, you know, what people say about him in the locker room. And
right. Compared to the others in the era, Warren Moon actually did play 16 seasons, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was tough. He moved around a bit at the end, but he played 16 years. Yeah. Dan Marino. I mean, he played, obviously, with one team his entire career, which I think is attractive, and he has all the gaudy numbers, but he didn't win a Super Bowl, and there isn't one person who would quibble with him as a Hall of Famer. So, yeah, it's interesting that we hold quarterbacks to that standard, but very often you never hear that when it comes to another position in the Hall of Fame.
Barry Sanders, et cetera. And actually, Donovan McNabb, I think he should probably be in as well. I think, you know, I watching him play back then in his prime, I think he had the stats to back it up, too, and the performances.
I like this call, Hank. I like it when people agree with me, though it's not necessary. So call anytime.
Thank you so much. Right. Appreciate it.
Have a great day in D.C. 855-212-4227. This is Kyle on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Playoffs or Super Bowls should not determine if a player gets into the Hall of Fame, the caliber of the player and how they performed every Sunday should be the standard if they get in. This tweet from Kevin is not original. I've heard this before, but it makes me laugh. Trade Matt Ryan and the number 4 pick for Deshaun Watson. Atlanta gets their QB for the future. Houston gets a proven veteran QB plus the opportunity to draft their next one with the 4th pick. Win-win for both teams. I don't think it's equitable, not for Houston.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.